Welcome to the IPMA's Who Am I interview. Tonight, I am speaking with Ashley Cruz of The Cruz Machine.
Welcome, Ashley. Thank you so much for consenting to spend this time with me this evening.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Alfred. It's a pleasure to be here.
Indeed, and I love your music, and I'm so excited to be able to talk about this with you. So could you tell us a little bit about how you got into music?
Well, music to me is, I call it the thread of life, and it flows like water, like air, like earth. It has all the elements, fire. So it's been a part of me since I was born. My family, my mom used to always have music playing in the house. She is not an actual artist with music, but she always had the radio on. She always had us listening to music and listening to orchestras and operas, which was part of my early childhood because I was a dancer first, very focused on dancing was what I enjoyed expressing my spirit and my energy. And so I started with the Hartford Ballet Company in Connecticut. When I was 7 years old, I was accepted. And I toured with the Hartford Ballet Company my whole childhood until I was a teenager, all over New England. And so classical music and dance, the connection between that energy was always with me. And I loved to sing. My dad, since I was a tiny little girl, he still has recordings of me, like 5 years old, singing. He would sing something and I would repeat it back. That was like the kind of started singing. And it was very cute little songs, you know. I mean, I even sang "This Land Is Your Land," you know, like little songs like that. It was like my little go-to with my dad was singing. So So between my mom and my dad, they were always bringing in art and music into my life. So I'm very grateful for that. My mom actually taught me how to dance, like really dance, you know, shake my booty. She was an incredible dancer. She was Polish and Lithuanian. And she is passed. She is now gone to the other side, but she's always with me in spirit. And my dad was always driving me to all my lessons to learn voice, to learn dance. So musical theater started to become more prominent in my life at age 10 when I got my first paying professional gig in the musical Gypsy, which I played Baby June. Let Me Entertain You was my big song. I enjoyed that so much. I got my first paycheck that since the time I was 10 until now, I've been a professional entertainer, singer. And I've been doing that now for 41 years. That's been my life. So it was my destiny. It was, and thank the lady and Lord that, you know, my mom and dad were very motivating parents because they wanted me to do what I love to do. But they're like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. You can't talk about it. Everything was always taking action. So I actually got early acceptance into Carnegie Mellon University musical theater department. And I graduated there in 91, '91. And that was the toughest school that I had ever been through discipline-wise. But they trained me to be a triple threat. When I got out of there, all my friends went to Broadway and I decided to go to California and seek out the movie industry because I was going to be a big film star. Like so many people like dream about. Everybody dreams about being movie stars and rock stars. So I did go out there against my parents' wishes after I graduated college, and I began to find myself very quickly being on my own, a young woman in Los Angeles. Let me tell you, it was an amazing experience. It was very scary at times. I had to work and, you know, pay rent and try to really develop who I was. And it turned out my very first jobs were singing in a rock band that was writing music. I started right away. And so within a year, I was already on performing at the Whiskey a Go-Go and Sunset Strip and the Roxy with my original rock band, Taboo You. And I wrote my first album, The West, out there, which is based on California. And my growing into my womanhood. It's for me, that album is very special because it's like my maiden album, I call it. My maiden aspect. You know, testing the waters, being very sexual, being very connected with just the excitement of my youth and my passion. And, you know, my songs were very theatrical, of course. I mean, I wrote songs that people said, that's never going to be on the radio. And guess what? It's on the radio. So that was my first big album. And it started out West. I didn't finish it until I got back to Connecticut almost 20 years later, which is interesting. So the actual the actual songs were there. It just needed to be developed a step further. So when I stopped singing rock music for a little while, I actually, you know, I married a 5-star French chef for 11 years. And I met him in Malibu, California, and I kept singing. I had cabaret shows and I learned French because he's French. I sang in France and Monte Carlo. We toured the world together. He was only the chef of 5-star places. And finally, after about, you know, it was like 9 years of traveling all the time, I said, well, I think we need to settle down. You know, we'll have a family and try to, you know, have our own restaurant. And so we came back to Connecticut, where I was born. And it was funny because I had my own restaurant for 2 years called La Vie en Rose. So when I left my husband, we lost our restaurant and I got divorced. I pretty much hit a scary little bottom there, which actually changed my life because I didn't know that I was actually an alcoholic. So I almost died at 40. And I wound up, you know, getting help. So I can say today that I am a very grateful recovered alcoholic. Awesome. I've been 10 and a half years sober. And
wow.
That experience, that low that I hit where I was at the point where I was tired of living, but I didn't want to die. That point when you get there changes you forever. And there's a crossroads there. It's like the Hecate crossroads where you have a choice to change your life and try to live, or you have the choice to die. And I wanted to live. So I did change my life, and my spirituality at that point started to blossom. It was like I was so connected with nature. That was the only place I felt safe and healthy. And, you know, my mom brought me up that way. Even though I was raised Catholic, she brought me up to every day we went out in the woods because we always lived on a cow farm with the woods down the street. And we would take long, long walks with our dogs in the fields and in the forest. And I know that she was pagan in her heart. Totally. I mean, my mom was, you know, we were always collecting dry flowers and looking at the plants. And, you know, she's just so into that. And the stars and the moon. My mom was the moon. So actually, I was 2 years sober when my mom was diagnosed with primary lateral sclerosis, which is an Al's disease. So she was only 69, and she passed. It was very sad the way it happened because it's not a nice disease. But I do remember she passed on a super full power moon the day after the Kentucky Derby. And that night she passed, I saw that moon, and that my mom was there. And I understood what was happening with me. I was learning something new about spirit. I wasn't sad. I almost felt like now I was more connected with her than ever. And so the moon kept bringing me back into nature to keep exploring what I was feeling. And so I did eventually get drawn to the craft. I used to go to Salem every October, and I started to, you know, meet people over at Enchanted and in Salem where Lori Cabot is. And I am now a second degree Cabot priestess, which is amazing that that happened within those, you know, 10 years of being sober. But I kept following my spirit, my soul. I said, you know, this is my time in life where I'm going to do what makes me feel that I'm alive, that I can give something back to the world, no matter what it is. So basically, I was teaching, you know, at magnet schools and kind of singing with my rock band. And then a nurse one day, who was a friend of mine, asked me to sing at a nursing home. And I said, well, that's kind of strange. I've never tried that. But I said, well, I can sing all my cabaret music, all my French, my theater. And so that was it. The seed was planted. And for the past 10 years, I've been singing every day, if possible, at nursing homes and assisted living places during the day. Over Connecticut, all over Massachusetts. I did 290 shows in 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
Just 1 year. That's how many shows I do. That's how many places I went to. And when I did my cabaret shows for these seniors, they were the best audience I've ever had in my whole life. What they gave back to me, I'm going to start crying because I do every time I talk. I miss them so much with the COVID. what they gave back to me every show, it wasn't about money. It was about their love for music and their last breaths of life that they shared with me. And I shared it with their families, with them every day. So that helped me to really give back and appreciate the gift I got of life again. And then, of course, I was starting in the craft and I had my Rock Band cruise machine, which I put together, you know, when I got sober. And we wrote our, one of our greatest albums was Seven, which is the song you played, You Can't Be Saved, which was about the seven deadly sins.
Yep.
But seven is also magical. And it was my introducing myself and the band, because we, I called us the elements, you know, that was our kind of our thing. We were all the different elements and I'm of course fire, but we were working together and every song started to be more into nature and more into the craft of what I was learning. So when I got to You Can't Be Saved, which of course is the deadly sin of wrath, I really, yeah, I was pretty good at that one because I do have a tendency to get, when I used to get angry, when I was not healthy, to see red. But I was exploring that aspect of people who, you know, when life happens that it's so difficult, you know, it's so, you know, it's wrong. It's just this rage that goes through you. And it was also my way of showing the new audience that I was connecting with, you know, a pagan audience, that I was full of fire and passion. And this is who I am. This is Draven Ashley, you know, and it was so exciting to do that. It was my first music video I did right here in my woods. With my videographer, Megan Lang, and it was freezing cold. It was September and it was like 30 degrees out, maybe less. It was like today, you know, snow cold, and the wind was blowing from the north.
Wow.
And I was out there barefoot in my, you know, flowy costume. And my band, they had a dress really cool, so they had barely any clothes on, and we rocked the woods like no one's rocked those woods in that sacred place. It was my sacred hollow where I do a lot of my praying. We did that for at least an hour and a half, and it was amazing. I will never forget that. Every time I walk to my hollow to pray, I feel that energy. I can just call it back. It's in the earth. It's in the trees. It's there, you know?
Fantastic. So. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Oh my goodness. So what is the best thing about being a pagan musician in a pagan group?
I absolutely adore this whole world of the pagan community because it's almost like its own fellowship. You have so many artists that are creating from a place of beautiful spirituality that it's overwhelming sometimes. It's hard for me to describe how good it makes me feel to not just be a pagan artist, have a pagan band, but have friends that are also pagan artists as well, because the community is very supportive. I've had such wonderful comments about my music consistently. You know, I have my own YouTube channel too on YouTube, and my music videos are there, and I get, you know, people who join our channel all the time. It's Cruise Machine AC. Their comments are just phenomenal. It's like you don't even realize, like when I wrote the Morrigan, you know, how many dedicated Morrigan people are out there that appreciate what you are giving back to them, like what your expression from your soul is and how they connect with it, you know? So it's not just, oh, I like the song because yes, you know, like in a regular situation of music, pagan music does have this essence of connection. Like we music is like the thread. Like I started when I first told you, it moves through all of us. And when you're in that spirituality of, you know, paganism, whether it's your Wiccan or whatever religion you're studying, or tradition, there's this connection that, you know, you can really touch people and they touch you back. And performing like at Witch Fest that I've done and the Witch's Ball I've performed in New York City and different things, I've had such wonderful experiences with other artists and people in the community. So I'm so grateful for it because I have a freedom that I don't think most people even realize they can tap into. So I'm grateful for that.
Fantastic. So what is the most challenging thing about being a pagan musician?
I guess it's probably the stereotype that's been created, that's been around for thousands of years, about, you know, pagan music and about, you know, witches, because I am a witch. So, you know, you have that negativity that it's almost like a block. It's like a wall when you talk to muggles or people that aren't in our, you know, in our religion or in our community. But I've been able to realize that the most important thing I can do every day, I can't change that because that's just what it is, but I can change who I am and how I approach it. So for me, I try to live a healthy, very productive life that is something that people look at and they go, wow, I didn't know a witch was doing bad or doing wonderful things or doing healing stuff, or I didn't know that. I thought they were just that scary image that they, you know, that was created years ago. So all I can do on a daily basis is be who I am, but always remember that I am representing, you know, the craft. I am a priestess. I'm a second degree Cabot priestess. I have a responsibility. When I came into the craft and I dedicated myself to the God and Goddess, I knew that it was a responsibility to be the best I could be and not just be like a singing star, but to give back to the community, give back to if people need help. And by what I do is going to speak volumes.
Cool. Awesome. So how can the IPMA help you to enhance your musical reality?
I am just so excited to be a part of this IPMA group. I so far, you know, Melissa Anderson has been a wonderful influence. She's a magnificent lady, so magical and wonderful. And she's embraced what I do and introduced me to some wonderful people now. And I feel that I'm opening a new doorway. It's like a new portal. Something that is going to keep growing. And hopefully I would love to be able to, as soon as, you know, COVID gets a little less severe, I would love the opportunity to all the people that I've been meeting online and connecting with now through IPMA, that I can go visit and perform, because my gift is performing live, because that's what I'm trained to do, and it's from my soul. But I would love to be in different festivals and sing at different churches and have this opportunity to experience everything that, you know, that I write about or I dream about, you know. And I think it's already happening. So I just have to say, I'm talking to you, which is already awesome, and you're wonderful too. I just think this is a great opportunity right now for me to further develop the music I'm doing. I am writing a new album.
Good.
My new album, the title track, which I'm working on now, is going to be a music video as well. And it's going to be based on the Wheel of the Year, but also it's dedicated to our elders. So awesome. I have my song I'm working in, the title track of the album is called The Magical Child. And it's very exciting. So we're going to be getting shooting this weekend. I have Stephanie Grimassi is going to be in the music video.
Good.
With me, Raven Grimassi's wife. And also I'm going to be filming in New York City with Alexander Cabot, who's a very good friend of mine. Love very much. And we're hoping Lady Rhea might be able to participate.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
And we are going to bring back the essence of the magical child in New York City, the actual shop where Eddie Buzinski, Herman Slater, and the greats of our elders, we're going to reenact a lot of their experience into this video, as well as bringing the Yule aspect of the song from Nature with Stephanie Grimassi.
Fantastic. That's very cool. So we have a lot to talk about once we can all start moving again.
I know.
So yes. In the beginning of the interview, and you've already mentioned it, that you chose You Can't Be Saved. Can you tell us why you picked that particular song?
I do find that song crosses over to all kinds of different people's experiences, magical experiences, also life experiences. You know, it's just a song that for me is full of my passion and my energy, and how people interpret it, I kind of like to let the audience have their own experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to say how they should feel about the song. I do feel that it can bring out some scary emotions as well. Mm-hmm. I've heard that back from a few people. Someone actually mentioned, they said that's my ex-wife who took everything from me. So it made me feel. I was like, wow, I didn't know that brought that out in that person, you know? But it definitely brings emotion. It brings a feeling that people want to express and connect with. You know, for me, again, I am at that point, I was introducing myself to the craft, into the pagan world of music. And I was there to be, I am here. And I am not going to let anyone tell me different, because this is my path. This is who I am. And I felt very strongly about it. And I still feel very strongly about it today. I mean, I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm a grateful witch. I'm a grateful pagan. I'm a grateful, mm-hmm. I'm a grateful human being, and humanity is everything. And, you know, it's just, when you're in touch with that, you feel so gratified, like to do that kind of a music video. And that song is really, you know, there, like you asked me before about, you know, people's, how you feel about any negative thoughts about people towards the pagan community. And for me, I always, you know, fire is my strength. It has been, you know, I'm a Sagittarius, but I have that burning in me, this beautiful passion. And I just wanted to express that and put it out there. So.
Fantastic. What message do you want to share with those who will listen to this interview?
Oh my goodness. I strongly want to just suggest and put out there as guidance that follow your heart, follow everything that you want to be. And, you know, humility comes to us when we are giving of ourselves. We stay on the path. We try to be good witches, pagans, human beings. You know, being good to your fellow human is the most important thing, but also following your heart. Most people put that aside for so long, and it's sad, but it is the way the world is, you know. And when you have your calling, whether it's in, you know, witchcraft or whatever it is, follow your heart and don't let anyone stop you. Just keep having trust in what is given to you, the gift. Everyone has a gift.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Ashley, I really appreciate you taking the time from your crazy schedule to spend this time with us and to allow the IPMA individuals to get a little window into who you are. And once again, and as I said, thank you very much. And I hope that we all get to be able to sit across from the table in the physical form really soon.
I would love that. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. It would be wonderful to meet you in person.
No, awesome.